Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi, with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Dina Rubinovich, and today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek Samech Zayin. Warning, you will hear numbers in this perek and be asked to envision a diagram. As we listen to Mizmor Samech Zayin, we hear familiar words. Pasuk Bet, the first main pasuk, and then Pasuk Chet, the final pasuk, echo Birkat Kohanim, albeit with some differences. If we looked at this mizmor with one pasuk per line, we would see that there are seven rows after the koteret or introductory pasuk. The seven rows would look somewhat the same length, except for pasuk hey, which is longer. If we flipped the layout and wrote the words up and down in a vertical manner, you can begin to imagine a menorah. And indeed, for those of you familiar with the Shiviti menorah, the diagram found in many shuls and in the Sidurim for the Eidot HaMizrach, this is the mizmor that is etched into the menorah. As we count the words in each pasuk, and again, we start with the second pasuk, since the first one is the introduction. The first and last psukim each have seven words. The second, third, fifth, and sixth psukim each have six words. And the fourth line, the longest pasuk, has 10 words and then concludes with the word selah. If we count up all the words, we get 49. If we count up all the letters in the middle row, the longest one, we get 49 letters. Note, don't try counting yourself. You need to add the letter vav to some of the words to get there. But the reason we want to get to the number 49 should be somewhat obvious. End of this note. Mizmor Samech Zayin is thus replete with sevens. Seven rows, 49 words, and 49 letters. We can understand its affinity to Shavuot and the Kabbalistic custom of reciting this mizmor during Sfirah to Omer, an early minhag that is recorded in the Siddur of the Budraham, a 14th century student of the Rosh. Is it only the structure that lends itself to reciting this mizmor during Sfirah to Omer? As we shall see, the language is also relevant. Let's first look at the psukim individually and then compare between the lines. The basis for this mizmor? Possibly the famine that took place at the end of David's life, El Shaul ve'El Beit Damim, that Shaul had killed the Givonim when he attacked the Kohanim of Nov. The Givonim, a Canaanite nation, had tricked Yehoshua into signing a treaty with them, and they served as woodchoppers in Nov and were killed during the massacre of the Kohanim. David will thus have to choose seven descendants of Shaul to kill in return. He won't choose any children of Yonatan's because of the promise, the covenant, that the two had forged together. He chooses instead two sons of Rizpah, who was a Pelegish, a concubine to Shaul, and five sons of Michal, the daughter of Shaul, that were born to Adriel HaMecholati. How Michal, who was also David's wife, and about whom it is said she did not have any children, could have given birth to children with Adriel is a big question, perhaps for another time. We will see references to receiving a bracha of rain and grain in the next few psukim. Pasuk Aleph, Lamnatzech bin Ginot Mizmor Shir, for the lead player on stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. Pasuk Bet, Elokim yechanenu vivarchenu ya'er panav itanu selah. May God be gracious to us and bless us, selah. What is the bracha we hope to receive? The Rashbam says tvua, grain, based on the pasuk uvarechet lachmecha in Shmot per Kaf Gimel. The Malbim says it refers to rain. Since David was davening to find out why there was a famine for so many years, connecting it to the 3 years of famine. Both will follow this line of thought throughout the Mizmor, Pasuk Gimel. Ladat ba'aretz darkecha v'chol goyim yeshuatecha. Then will your way be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. The Rashbam says when people come to Yerushalayim with grain and wine and oil, which, by the way, are the three items from which we are officially obligated to give truma to the Kohanim. Malbim, after Hashem told David that the famine was a punishment for what had been done to the Givonim, your way, Hashem, was then known to the earth, that you will make sure people pay back for what has been done. In an interesting twist, the Malbim quotes Chazal and offers another reason for the famine, that Shaul didn't receive a proper eulogy when he died. Therefore, the famine came because of something Shaul did and something that was done or not done to him, and thus incorporates both Chesed and Mishpat, which are two ways of Hashem, into understanding this pasuk. Pasuk Dalid, Yoducha Amim Elokim, Yoducha Amim Kulam. Let the people praise you, God. Let all the people praise you. Rashbam says when all of the nations get grain, when Israel gets the blessing of grain, and they all praise you as well. Pasuk Hey, Yismechu v'yiranenu le'umim, ki tishpot amim mishor, ule'umim ba'aretz tanchem selah. This again is the longest pasuk, the middle part of the menorah, if we're having that visual picture in our minds. Let nations rejoice and sing for joy, for you judge the people justly and guide the nations of the earth, selah. Pasuk Vav, Yoducha amim elokim, Yoducha amim kulam. Let the people praise you, God, let all the people praise you. Pasuk Zayin, Eretz Natna Yevula, Yevarchenu Elokim Elokeinu. The earth has yielded its harvest. May God, our God, bless us. Here we see a direct reference to grain in this mizmor and the produce of the earth that was alluded to in the word bracha in Pasuk Bet. Pasuk Chet, Yevarchenu Elokim V'yir'u Oto Kol Afsei Aretz. God will bless us and all will revere and fear him to the ends of the earth. The Shorsh Barech, Bet Resh Chaf, is found in the first and last line and is understood by the Rashbam to be a bracha on the tvuah, or the grain. Sfirat HaOmer is flanked on either end with special offerings of grain from the new harvest. It begins with the Korban Omer, brought from the new barley crop, and concludes right before Shavuot, which featured the Shtei HaLechem, an offering from the wheat harvest. This mizmor is also about rain, alluded to in the word v'chanenu. Again, looking at the Rashbam, Hashem should show us chen by giving us rain in a timely manner during the winter months, so our crop of grain will ripen at the right time and be plentiful. Rain at the wrong time, like summer, when we're trying to get the wheat dry in the field to be ready for harvest, would not be a bracha. Structurally, linguistically, and thematically then, this mizmor fits Sfirat HaOmer. But wait, as they say, there's more. If we continue a few lines into the mizmor, we're going to hear words that sound familiar. The words echo the conversation between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel. Listen first to the words of Moshe and Hashem, where Moshe is asking to understand the ways of Hashem so he can teach them to Bnei Israel. And then I'll read them again with the parallel phrases that David HaMelech uses. In Shemot, we have Moshe saying, Hodiana na et derachecha, show me your ways. Panaye lechu, Hashem responds, my presence will go with you. Hanichoti lach, I will grant you rest. Vechanoti et asher achon, I will be gracious to whom I choose to be gracious. And what about in this Tehillim, in Samech Zayin? So now I'm going to read the pasuk of Tehillim first and repeat the pasuk in Shemot so you can hear them both. In Tehillim, it was Pasuk Gimel, Lada'at ba'aretz darkecha, then your way will be known on earth. And Moshe had asked, Hodiani na et derachecha, show me your ways. In Tehillim, in Pasuk Bet, we have Ya'er panav itanu sela, may he shine his face upon us. And in Shemot, Hashem said, Pana yelechu, my presence will go with you. In Pasuk He of Tehillim, David says, Ulumim ba'aretz tanchem, guide the nations of the earth. And Hashem responded to Moshe, Hanichoti lach, I will grant you rest. And then the last parallel, Elokim yechanenu, in Pasuk Bet of the Mizmor, may God be gracious to us and bless us. And Hashem had told Moshe, V'chanoti et asher achon, I will be gracious to whom I choose to be gracious. The parallel adds another level of meaning to this Mizmor. It is about learning the ways of God. Who is learning in this mizmor? The entire world. The goyim, the amim, and the le'umim, all different words for people of the world. And what are they learning? Pasuk Gimel told us, Ladat bat aretz darkecha, the whole goyim yeshuatecha. Your way will be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. What specifically should they know? The answer is the three words that are at the very center of the mizmor, Ki tishpot amim mishor, you, Hashem, judge the people justly. If so, this mizmor of seven lines has a specific meaning for Bnei Israel and Sfirat HaOmer, and a universal meaning for the rest of the world, who will recognize Hashem through his benevolence to the world at large. We began our discussion today by looking at the structure, and we'll conclude with a discussion of structure. What is the connection between the theme of this mizmor and its shape? says Tsio Nakashi in an article in Megadim, the menorah represents prophetic light, kiner mitzvah v'torah or. The menorah represents the light of the Torah that influences the world. The time of Matan Torah was special, not only for Bnei Israel, who became Am Hashem, the nation of God, but even for the rest of the world, who recognized Malchut Hashem, the glory and the kingdom and the reign of God, a lesson that had begun with Yitziat Mitzrayim and Kriyat Yamsuf. It is incumbent on us, Bnei Israel, to keep the flame of Torah burning, in part by learning as we are doing here. This will culminate in Acharit HaYamim, the end of days, when the Pasuk in Yeshayahu will come true, Kimla'a Ha'art De'ah Et Hashem. The world will be filled with the knowledge of Hashem. Thank you for studying Li'ilui Nishmat Sonia Finkelstein, Chana Sara Bat Chaim Leib.